But let us pray as we begin to hear God's word. Almighty God, we invite your Holy Spirit into this place. God, to enter our hearts and minds, God, that as we focus on your love, God, that we may follow after you with our whole hearts. Be with us. And we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. So today is the love is the greatest. Now I want you to think about love this morning. This is probably a familiar passage for all of you. Love is patient, kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast, right? It's read at almost every wedding in America today. But this was not the intended purpose of the scripture. So as we read through Paul this morning, we know that every single church that Paul wrote a letter to came to be great centers of the Christian world. From Galatians to Ephesians, they all became important central parts of the Christian movement spreading throughout the world, right? And Galatians, we know, had their problems, right? He opens up the book of Galatians by saying, "You foolish Galatians, who put a spell on you?" Or some translations say, "You stupid Galatians, who put a spell on you?" Literally translated from the Greek, right? But Corinthians, Paul wrote two letters to them to correct their behaviors. And Corinthians, the church, folded into itself. And we're going to talk about that this morning. And again, I didn't choose this passage. This comes out of our lectionary. We know that the church in Corinth was a port city. Now, I want you to think about a port city. Now, my in-laws are here this morning, so I get to call them out. That's why they're in the front pew, because we know no one sits in the front pew. So thank you for filling that this morning. So they're from New Orleans. I'm from New Orleans, right? It's a port city. Now, in early humanity, it was very important to be by the water, right? Every major civilization needed water to survive and thrive. Now, Corinth was that port city. And because they were a port city, they became wealthy. They had goods and services that they traded around the world. But some of that economic gain and intellectual exchange became problematic. It changed their conduct and how they lived. And I want us to think about that today. The American church is so blessed, are we not? But again, I know it sounds like beating a dead horse, but it's the churches that are not so blessed economically, intellectually, that are thriving in 2022. It is the churches of China and South America and Russia and all of these places around the world where Christianity is either persecuted legally or illegally that is thriving, while here in America and places like Europe that we continue to decline. And I think we look at Corinth and we say, how do we change this? Because they struggled in the same way. In the book of Corinthians, we see some of these things. Some believe they had spiritual supremacy over each other. They began to sue each other in public courts. Now, how often do Americans sue each other today? How many Christians do you know that end up in court? Now, I have to tell you, I was involved in a lawsuit once. It was horrible. It's not what I wanted. Where I'm from, a handshake is still a handshake, and it's good, right? But in this situation, it wasn't. They began to sue each other. They began misusing the community meal and sexual misconduct. These were only a few part of the issues of the Corinthian church. So Paul wrote them, calling them to a higher ethical and moral standard. Now, I joke all the time. As a Lutheran pastor, I told my mother-in-law this other night, I can have a drink if I want to. I can say a bad word and not be totally denounced from the congregation, right? I can be human being, right, as a Lutheran pastor. It's great. But just because I'm saved in Christ Jesus doesn't mean that I get a free-for-all, get-out-of-jail-free card. There is a code of conduct and ethics that the Holy Bible gives us to live by. Now, it's not radical. I'm not saying that, congregation, you can't dance and listen to the music that you enjoy. Now, my father grew up in a Pentecostal church, and he liked like AC/DC and Guns N' Roses and all this, and they had to bring all their records in to be burned at one time, right? I'm not telling you we're going to do that, but I am telling you that Paul gives us our moral standards to live by, our ethics. We have ethics as believers in Jesus. So I want you to think about these New Testament churches, and I want you to think hard about it. If we, at First Lutheran of Gray Manor, were to be one of these New Testament churches, which one would be us? Which one would be the American church? Which one would be the church in China, South America, Africa, right? And I had to go get fingerprinted for something right here in Dundalk. And this guy is from Africa. And I told him I was a pastor. And it was kind of interesting. It's that old world way of thinking. He got on his knees and said, "Please bless me." So I gave him a blessing. And then we talked about the missionaries that are being sent from Africa over to America to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? And I am so thankful for the African church. We need them. We need them more than ever. And as it is told, history always repeats itself. And I believe in many ways that the American church as a whole is following the Corinthian church. Again, wealthy, blessed, but falling, right? And we have to have revival in the American church. And we at First Lutheran are a part of that. We're a part of that revival, as is every church in America that still worships on Sunday morning. But why did the Corinthians get to that point? That they were acting inappropriately, that they were suing each other, that there was jealousy. It's very simple. The lack of love. The lack of love. We learn that these Corinthians were not loving each other. And while the church had gifts, and it was a busy church, they lacked love. It's often easier to be busy than to love each other, is it not? We can pretend and get so fed up in our busyness of our lives that we forget the purpose. Now, I want us to think about it. We can easily spend hundreds of hours feeding the poor of Dundalk and the homeless. There's a lot here. Baltimore City. And we can become a social justice-oriented congregation. But if we don't spread Jesus because of our love for him, it's for nothing. It's for nothing. We have to spread eternal life. We learn in the New Testament that God is love. 1 John 4:16 tells us this. "And so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them." Whoever lives in love. Thus, Jesus wanted his followers to demonstrate love. And John 13:35 tells us this, the gospel. "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." So I want you to highlight this in your head. They will know you are a disciple if put three lines underneath there, if you love one another. Right? If we don't love each other, they will not know that we are disciples. Now, some of us struggles with this. This is that whole works versus faith thing. But the truth is, as believers in Jesus, we have good fruit. We have good fruit. And in this case, the greatest fruit of them all is love. Love towards God, love towards our neighbors. Now, as I said earlier, just because we love each other, it doesn't give you an excuse to get out of jail free all the time, right? Just like a parent's love is by disciplining their children when necessary. God will discipline us when we need to be disciplined. And if we look at, again, that catechesis insert this morning, it talks about this in that first scripture, that God is love, and a God that loves us will challenge us, friends. But what is love? Again, as we read through this text this morning, again, if you have your Bible, I encourage you, open it up, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm just going to read through the first few verses again. And if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. All right? So if I have no love, I'm just white noise. Right? It doesn't matter. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Right? So even in the church, in the body of Christ, you could be the most talented individual. You may have every gift under the sun. But if you're a jerk and you don't love people, guess what? Doesn't matter. God says we must love. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. So I want you to think about this. If Pastor Blue won the lottery tomorrow, $120 million, which would never happen, okay? I'd have to play. And all of a sudden, and I gave it all away to God's church, I cannot save myself. No amount of money can save us. And it goes back to the Reformation, right? We cannot purchase our salvation. Is it the right thing to do? Is it what God wants us to do? Well, that's between you and God. But this is all about our love for God and His church and for each other. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. Friends, I want you to think about that. Again, talking to Gert and Bill, married 66 years. Their response to a good marriage is, it takes work. It takes work. That's how it is in all relationships. Our relationship with the Lord, our relationship with each other. It's not easy. If it's easy, it's not love. I would dare to say. It takes work. Now, think about your spouse. Are you guys always patient with each other? And if you're not, do you say sorry? Are you kind to each other? Maybe, sometimes. I don't know. Amanda's going to laugh at me right here. She hit me the other day. Love does not envy. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It's not arrogant or rude. Anybody been rude to someone? It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Now, I want you to really think about that, that first part. It does not insist on its own way. When we love each other, sometimes we give up what we want for others, right? Maybe, I don't know. I know for my wife here, she gave up a lot when I said I was going into ministry, right? And she did it. All of us have those moments in our life. Irritable. Now, if you hold a grudge for 20 years, friends, I think it's time to say sorry and move forward, okay? And I've shared that before. My grandmother would hold grudges for decades. God bless her soul. But they finally made up. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. So I want us to really think about that. What does that even mean? It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. So if you get over on somebody, you don't rejoice in that. But rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes in all things, hopes in all things, endures in all things. Love never ends. God's love never ends, friends. As for the prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. So let's pause there. At some point, everything on earth will go away. We'll die, right? But God is eternal. His love is eternal. Now, this is my favorite part, verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. And when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. Now, we're talking about spiritual maturity. And guess what? That's not on a timeline. You could be 90 years old and be a spiritual infant. You could be 6 years old and have spiritual maturity. It works that way. And the Bible tells us the marker of spiritual maturity. It says this. It says that a child, someone that is a spiritual infant, is tossed every way the wind blows. Right? Every way the wind blows, that is the marker of infancy in our faith. Someone that has spiritual maturity stands strong and solid in their faith, in the words of God. I want us all to be spiritually mature. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, love abide, these three. But the greatest is love. Our second point is we have strength, friends, in Christian love. 1 John 4:7 through 11 tells us this. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And then again in John 3:16, hope everyone knows this, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And faith and hope are important. Faith alone in Jesus Christ for his sacrifice for our sins. But we must love one another. We can't get too busy with life that we forget our neighbors. We are the body of Christ. this congregation are brothers and sisters in the gospel. So I want you to ask yourself this week, how, this week, have you loved each other? How do you plan next week to show love towards each other? See, friends, love is not just a maybe. It's a command by our Lord, right? Go back to that first scripture reading I read. They will know we are disciples if we love each other. You hear the command, right? Jesus commands us to do so. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Notice the placement of that. Joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Could you imagine if we, I don't know how many churches we have in Dundalk. There's a lot. Let's just say 30 churches that 90% of their congregations showed fruit of the Spirit every single day, right? If, like the coronavirus, which is spread simply every time we get together, right, and you have the virus, one little droplet can make someone sick. Now, I want you to think about the gospel of Jesus. Shouldn't that be the same? That through our love, just one interaction with you, they are infected for the gospel. They are infected with salvation. That's the type of church we need to be. That there is something different about you because you're a believer of Jesus. Again, faith will be replaced by sight one day when we get to heaven. Hope will become a reality, but the love of God will remain forever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, help us love each other as brothers and sisters of the gospel of Jesus, as one family. God, we pray for our brothers and sisters out in the world, scrambling along, not knowing who you are. We pray, Lord, for this church community, God, to take a lesson from Corinth. God, to not implode, but to be rejoiced in love and charity and patience and kindness and goodness and self-control. God, that we follow your will, not for our sake, but for yours. Lord, guide us. Guide our hearts. In Christ's name, amen.